should remember our lesson we learned. We should introduce ourselves.
Yes, I think that's a good idea.
Yep, definitely should do that.
I feel like Chad, you kind of by default became the show runner just because you took charge and you're the Chad of the group.
That's right.
You know what it's like having that name? Start off. Charlie's name. No, it started off. Let me tell you about an election in 2000 and paper Chads in Florida. Anyway, yes.
Hanging Chad.
Oh, my hanging Chads. I've been in middle school during that. And then Tom Green in Charlie's Angels. And then apparently I just became an internet meme too. So anyway, I'm Stoic Chad or Chad. Nice to meet everybody. I'll pass over to Hobo Mom.
Yep, I'm Hobo Mom. And I don't know if I really need another introduction there. That's how I'm known in the Mark Claire Telegram chat. I go by a few names. It's one of my favorites.
For a hobo, you've got awesome internet. And I'm Bill. I think that's all I go by. Just the old guy.
Wild card Bill.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I was like, there was a nickname. Yeah.
I forgot I was the wild card. Yeah.
Definitely.
So, like, we're all wild cards to some extent, though. I'm Luca. I just go by my name. That's my name, Luca.
Very good. And so, on this, I don't know if this is episode 2 or if this is the first real episode with an organized theme, but Hobo Mom, you wanted us to watch an X-Files episode, correct?
That's right. Well, yes. Okay, so I watched X-Files, obviously, when I was younger. My mom was really into the show. And then at some point, I watched it again in my youth. And then I think it was Mark Claire, actually, was like, hey, let's have everyone should watch. Maybe they could be like an X-Files watching club. And nobody did that, but I did. So I
watched through like season 3, but no one was ever talking about it. So
right. So nobody was ever talking about it, and I occasionally just did like clips here and there of really interesting things because I am somewhat convinced that X-Files is basically a documentary. Like it isn't. It's mostly not fictional, and there's a lot of truth there. So it's kind of eerie if you are familiar with some of the more conspiratorial realms. You might see some interesting things in the X-Files, which I think makes it a really good conversation point. So I suggested one sort of randomly, but I thought it would be a good introduction just to, I don't know, talk about aliens, because obviously that's a lot of what happens in X-Files. And I thought it'd be a fun one to maybe just have that. So what episodes was it? It was season 2, episode
5, right?
5 and 6. I think it kind of was like a continuing episode, and either watching the one before or the one after made more sense. If you watched, I think the one before,
yeah, probably. I'm guessing I only watched 2, which is 5 and 6. 6 is the one about vampires, okay. Right? I want to make sure I watched
it. No. 6 is the continuation of 5.
So I think
you actually get to see Scully abducted into it later on in 6. In episode 6.
No way. Killing myself. Well,
yeah. Anyway. Actually, the whole premise for her getting abducted in this was because Gillian Anderson was pregnant at the time, and they couldn't figure out how to work that in. So if you remember in 6, there's a scene. Yeah, that's the actual reason this whole thing happened. Yeah, exactly. There, you're doing it with your hand there. You suppose anyone could see that there, Luca?
If they go to the Patreon page and they pay money, and then they can see the video.
Funny.
Wait, no, it was, I watched.
So he comes back and gives us more shows.
Now I know what I did wrong. Got it. I watched 6 and 7. So, because she's not in 7 either. So, because it's I'm like, boy.
So, if you watched 6, then did you see? I think episode 6 is at least where Gillian Anderson, she gets kidnapped and she gets brought up to Yes, and mm-hmm. abducted. Like, she disappears, which absolutely it's the premise. They did that because she was pregnant and she needed some time off. So they just abducted mm-hmm. her and made her disappear for a little while.
Hilarious.
Yeah, it worked out nicely.
Well, my wife said, so my wife watched the seventh episode, which is the one about vampires. I was like, what the frick? So that's my bad. It was like, boy, they're really just like kind of ignoring this character, Scully. You know, she goes, oh, she's like a feminist icon. I was like, what do you mean? Apparently, she was a doctor, I guess, in real life before she became an actor. And so she's kind of not an actress known for her looks or whatever. Like, she became because of her brains, I guess. I don't know if that's,
ugly.
That's true, but that's what my wife said. So I was like, oh, okay. So.
Interesting. I didn't know much about her history prior to her acting, but Gillian Anderson is a wonderful actress. She's one of my favorites, absolutely. And yeah, she's done some wonderful stuff. I don't know how much... she was very young when she started The X-Files, and I think that when she became pregnant was with like one of the producers or writers or something like that. Anyway.
Scandalous.
It's very scandalous.
I gotta say, I have not watched X-Files before, so this was my introduction to X-Files. And awesome. I love David Duchovny so much. I'm shocked. I was a huge fan of Californication for a while, and I'm shocked I never like followed his career back and watched X-Files. Like, I'm a total dumbass.
Well, now you have an amazing opportunity to experience it for the first time, and we can talk about it on this show. Which is super fun because it's great stuff.
Yeah, so growing up, I remember Simpsons and King of the Hill, kind of. That was kind of later on. But there's always, X-Files always around the Simpsons. I never watched it, but obviously I knew about it. And my first memory of X-Files in my head was was that we had to go to, it was like church group or something like that. And it was in the evening. And I remember this one kid who was older, he was always upset that it was at whatever time, 6 or 7 o'clock, because that was when X-Files was. He's like, don't they know when X-Files is? So whenever I think of X-Files, I always think back to that one guy who was like obsessed with the X-Files. And of course, this is Luca before, you know, DVR. And so he could just record it, you know, or something. So, but I've only seen 2 or 3 episodes before these 2 episodes, and it's definitely... I definitely want to go back to season 1 now, because I'm just like, this show is... I was taking some notes. There's some bizarre stuff in there, man. So, Luca, where did you walk to only to go back to your same spot?
You're breaking the rules. No. I saw that.
I heard someone or something yell or scream or make some sound in the woods, and I looked back, and then when I looked back, I noticed a no smoking sign. So I just wanted
no smoking sign. I don't want to break that rule. Oh, for those of you who are listening, Luca is smoking. That's an outside of the library, stealing internet, I think.
It's a public library. That is not stealing. Yeah, he has every right to use that internet.
What's the reasoning? I'm homesteading unowned.
Oh no, here we go with this again. Oh man.
I hate to tell you how that story ends.
The power went out for like my whole town. So I'm in the library next door or next town over.
That's just such dedication. How do you want to kick it off? Do you want to talk about how the episode started? Because it was... As someone who hadn't really watched it, I guess, Luke, I'd be curious for you, because it starts in DC, which I guess is, in retrospect, very obvious. But, or at least, well, wait a minute. Never mind. I'm going to shut up now, because I start on episode 6. So I'll let you guys tell me what happens in episode 5.
I actually did not once occur to me to even notice where it was located. So I didn't think about that. But I was in DC the whole time.
All right. I don't know if you wanted to say something, Luca, but I will say that episode 5, the episode before it, is basically about the guy who abducted Scully. So he abducts Scully And you find out in the episode that he was in a mental institution. So he basically starts off in a mental institution. He breaks out and he believes he's been abducted, and he ends up taking hostage one of the doctors to a travel agency because he's trying to find out where this place is, and where he believes he can basically trade being abducted with another person. Okay. That's why he takes Scully. So that's the premise of the first episode. And then you saw the second one. So.
Yeah. Well, thankfully there's enough flashbacks in the second one that you pieced that together. So.
Right.
Well, I better, right. It's just for Chad's point of view, the guy's name was Dwayne Barry, and he was a former FBI agent, and he took a bullet to that's what the scar is over his right eye. Is anybody here familiar with Phineas Gage? Because they bring him up. It's in the 1800s. Phineas Gage was working on a railroad, and they were blasting, and it's called a blasting rod. It looks like a crowbar, a sharp pointed crowbar. Well, a blast went off and it went through his, I believe, right eye socket and through the frontal lobe of his brain. And he went from being a well-adjusted member of society to this horrible, mean, degenerate. And that's what they're saying. The same thing happened to Dwayne Barry, that he was just insane and a sociopath or a psychopath. I can't remember. So that's why what I couldn't figure out is how he got to her house and abducted her. That was a little confusing at the end.
That was what Mulder was making the point that was evidence that aliens are real, because they had gotten a chip out of him.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Interesting way of explaining for Chad quickly, the way that that episode kind of the arc happened was that he was in a hostage situation. They brought in Mulder to do the hostage negotiation because he's familiar with that stuff. And then they gave him the playbook. They wanted him to talk to them like he was blue-pilled, basically, and follow the script of the FBI hostage negotiation process. And then Mulder is not blue-pilled, so he was stubborn to do that. And so when he was doing the negotiation, he kept like talking to the guy and actually trying to learn about the aliens that had abducted him, and ended up in a situation where he was in with the hostage. And so that just escalated because they couldn't stop him. At first, they were on a phone call, and so the call ended, and then he ended up going in. Once he was inside as one of the hostages, then the FBI chief couldn't stop him. So he ended up just talking to him the whole time, like directly, like gently getting more and more red-pilled the whole, like, as the episode progressed. And that was kind of like the way that it built the suspense for the watcher, was like, every moment it's like, is he gonna like entertain, like, oh, it's real? Because you're not supposed to do that, because then you're playing in the psychosis and it's gonna make him violent. And so then it kind of ended with him talking like, yes, I believe you, and blah blah blah, blah. And then he did get violent, and at one point he was talking to him about like, yeah, I believe you, like this stuff is real, my sister got abducted, and he gets him to talk about how he has they drilled into his teeth and put trackers, and then they also drilled into his sinuses.
Yeah.
And his belly button.
So after they were talking a little bit, they were trying to get a shot on him. He, at some point, Mulder managed, by gaining his trust, to convince him to let the women go, because he just talked him into letting them go, the hostages. So it was just him and the doctor. And then they set up a shot and shot him while they were talking, Mulder. I actually couldn't figure out that moment.
I couldn't either. That was kind of weird, because he wasn't going to do it, and then he told him to go lock the door. Why did he change his mind?
When Mulder noticed that the guys were trying to get a shot on him, he said, come here, and got him out of the way. And then he, for some reason in the dialogue, he ended up saying, like, what if you're making all this, like, are you making all this up? for some reason he just switched and said, "What are you making all this up?" I couldn't figure out why he did that. And then that made him violent. And then he was violent. Then Mulder like got him to walk back into the place for a clear shot and they shot him. Sorry, you wanted to clarify? I misunderstood that maybe?
Yeah, no, you definitely understood correctly. But the way that it ended up happening, so the reason it happened that way is, if you remember, he had a little little like bug in his ear, so he could hear Mulder, that is, could hear the agents on the other side. And Scully ended up coming and telling Mulder, you got to be careful. This guy, he's had an injury to his brain. That's what he got injured from the line of duty. And he's got this problem where he's extremely violent. He could show very violent tendencies. So that's where Mulder was like, "Hey, I've shown you trust. I want some trust too. Are you making this up?" And when Duane Barry kind of lost it, he was like, "What are you telling? You're saying I'm a liar." I think Mulder saw, he was doubting Duane Barry's honesty. So he believed Duane Barry that he was abducted. And then he was like, "This guy's maybe actually just lying about all of it. And I am not sure that I'm safe." So I think he was like, "Well, I should probably let the agents take care of this guy." So that's when he said, "Hey, go over to the door." And if you left it unlocked, he knew he was actually sending him out to get shot. But then that's when Mulder, the next scene is him kind of in the hospital learning that there was, in fact, a piece of metal in his sinuses, the teeth in his gums, under his teeth, and then his belly. So then that's when Mulder was like, "Well, maybe he was being honest all along." And, you know, all of the series of X-Files is Mulder basically believing alien abductees, believing in them. So it's his inclination is going to be trust that the story is true. So the fact that he kind of had that little bit of self-doubt is more unusual part. So, sorry, you can go on.
I mean, it was a good instinct in a way, because like the dude was deceiving him in different aspects of what he was telling him. Because that was the point, was to try to trick him into letting him replace himself with Scully. Because the aliens were repeatedly, this is part of what he was telling Mulder, is the aliens had been repeatedly coming to him, and the voices always tell him where to go in his head, that the alien's talking to him. And so what he was telling Mulder is that the aliens will they're not going to take him this time. Like, he was basically hinting that he needed to replace himself, but not saying it. I don't remember how explicitly he said it. I figured out what was going on pretty quickly, but I don't know the exact way he worded it, but like he was hinting toward that the voices were telling him to like put someone else instead of him, and then he wouldn't have to be experimented on anymore. And so he wasn't saying that directly. So he was being deceptive and trying to get that to happen. But so back to how Scully was located, how he managed to get to where she was and know where she was. The moment that he started chasing her, I think it was right after Scully had the chip and wondering what is this thing? And then she was buying food at a grocery store, and she looked at the scanner while the cashier was over doing something else. And she kept looking at the scanner being tempted. And then she went and scanned the little chip, because when they looked under a microscope, they saw that it looked like a barcode. And so she just had the impulse to scan the barcode, and then it made the cash register go all wonky and show a bunch of like alien, I don't remember if it was just chaos or it was actually alien letters, but it was meant to look like alien letters showing up, I think. And it just was going crazy. They might have had lights flicker or something for effect. But then she went away quickly. But that was the moment, I think, where he like suddenly got the impulse to go and chase her. And then that was the aliens figuring out where she was and telling him like, "Go get her," because this is the barcode, this is the thing. But I'm not completely sure on the specifics of how the mechanics of that worked, but I remember that there was that cluster of events altogether So I think the implication was that the aliens were talking to him to tell him to go there.
But isn't there, not to chime in since I didn't see this episode, but in the second episode, that's kind of what I gathered was, oh, there was this thing in him. Which, by the way, I guess he got shot, but they didn't kill him. Is that what happened?
That was a chest wound. Oh, actually, they nailed him right in the center of the chest, and he didn't
just
die.
Chest
they
wound.
Did say he almost. They did say they almost lost him.
Oh,
yeah, I made it really short. I just disbelieved.
Oh, him. That is so. During
that's
the episode,
where that
I'm
chest
like,
wound came from.
Yeah, I'm like, boy, it looks like this guy got shot. I was like, when did that happen? Anyway, this is what happens. We kind of piece together. I didn't want to like buy that season, but anyway. So you kept talking about aliens, but the interesting thing I found from this episode that I thought was the way they, because I see these shady guys coming in, like the smoking guy, and I vaguely remember X-Files kind of has this character. I don't know if that's the guy, but I was like, boy, these guys are like, they're in the background. They're kind of like throwing up red flags for me. And, you know, it seems like the way they see the episode progresses and ends, it leaves the door open. Because Mulder does a bunch of talking with his boss, I guess, that it's, you know, maybe not aliens. It's just the government is doing this, right? And so if it, and that's when you describe this barcode, because they talked about how there was some kind of a message on it or something. And a barcode is, seems to me to be interesting because like, that doesn't sound like alien. That sounds like, you know, human technology, right? So it's like, I feel like, and maybe this is a question for Bill and Hobo Mom who've watched more episodes than us. Like, it seems like I'm guessing the X-Files always leaves that door open and be like, is it alien? Or is it really just like this weird government thing? So is that a common theme of the show?
Yes. Yeah, that's absolutely a common theme of the show. Okay, so here's a question. Is anyone here ever heard of or familiar with the story of Karen Wilkinson? No? Okay.
Maybe.
Okay. So Karen Wilkinson is a lady. She wrote a book. I think it's like, what's the name of the book? It's like, Alien Harvest Evil Seed, something along those lines. She's an abductee. So she she's basically a routine abductee. And her story is super interesting. It's very interesting. It's very bizarre. It's very interesting. But and other people actually have similar situations to her. So people who are abducted, but this guy, Dwayne Barry, his account of being abducted is really similar to other people's accounts of being abducted. So Karen Wilkinson is a lady. She's not a character in the show. Claims she's been abducted since she was a kid, as long as she could possibly remember. And they do perform all these kinds of tests. And she too says that there are people there, that it's like, it's all connected. So in her account, what she believes is that they are actually the people who are abducting her are not aliens from like another planet. It is actually like the Nephilim that are abducting her, and they have basically different powers than us. So like they just, their physics is totally different. She can, when she's being abducted, would go through a ceiling or through a window, like a closed window. And, anyway, it's very interesting because the other thing that I found notable about this particular episode is it also shows Scully kind of being abducted with the pregnancy. And this lady, Karen Wilkinson's account of herself, she ended up getting pregnant multiple times and losing her baby. But what happened is she would wake up with stomach pain, go to the hospital after this is like 6 weeks, you know, 7 weeks post confirmed pregnancy. And they would do blood tests. They would see she still has the pregnancy hormones in her, but there's no tissue. There's no baby. There's no tissue. She's has not like aborted anything or miscarried anything. Nothing has come out. And, this lady's gone and the doctors are stumped and she's like, they cannot explain why there's nothing there. And so for her, she's like, yeah, they're harvesting from me. I basically, she's a victim of this. And even she says that there are real humans when she's down in wherever it is that she goes when she's abducted. There's actual real humans there too. So kind of the odd Dwayne Barry account too, where he's like, yes, there's aliens there, but also there's people from the government, military. And it's just interesting that this like ties into like real accounts of real people that have experienced these things as well. So anyway, that kind of is part of the reason why I think some of this stuff has deeper questions that need to be asked, because is it all fiction? Is there some truth to it? Revelation, whatever there is, it's a kind of chilling.
Do they, I mean, I assume like whether it's vampires or Bigfoot or aliens, I mean, do they just pull from popular culture or stories or myths? Is that the, I mean, it's like a chicken egg kind of thing. It's like, oh, well, X-Files tells these stories because they're the stories that people tell. And so you're going to.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And they do like X-Files. If you watch the whole series.
These stories, like where you get your inspiration from kind of a thing versus like, are you suggesting that or perhaps the universe where.
Okay.
I think we lost Chad.
Chad, yeah, you're skipping out a little bit. But I think I understand, yeah, definitely what you're saying there. It's like, is it X-Files is pulling from popular culture or things that have happened in you know, people claim have happened, or, you know, chicken and egg, absolutely. But
there you're back.
Hey, there you are.
Don't worry about me. I was like, I just froze, didn't I? I can't.
You just froze again. I have heard of Karen Wilkinson, and I just listened. I cannot remember whose podcast it was. It was a religious. I don't remember if he was a Orthodox guy or not, but he's got a bunch of movies, and she was like a main character in one of them. And yeah, it's okay. The Nephilim. It's totally Nephilim, and her book's called Stolen Seed.
That's it. Stolen Seed.
Yeah. And she's been abducted multiple times. I wish I could remember which podcast I was listening to when I heard that one. Might have been Sam Tripoli, maybe.
I think weird. She has been on Sam Tripoli, and
she wasn't on LA it. They were Marzulli. Just talking about her.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. LA Marzulli. She definitely partners with like LA Marzulli. Like her book is published and it's being sold only through his website. I think he helped publish it.
Oh, maybe that's who it was who was on the podcast. Okay. Cause okay. He's got a, yeah, yeah. LA. Yep. That's who it was. I just don't remember what podcast he was on, but yeah, that's when I found out about her.
Yeah. Very interesting story. And, X-Files definitely pulls a little bit from popular culture as far as their stories. But if you watch all of it all the way through, they have a very distinct storyline. And it kind of starts off as Mulder really believing in aliens from other planets that come and they're visiting and they're abducting and all that. And it kind of ends up, and if anybody's interested, I don't think there's going to be a huge spoiler here, but because they definitely allude to it here, where it kind of ends up switching to really a deep government conspiracy. And it, again, is very chilling in how that's always the underlying thing where he's trying to prove first aliens and then this deeper conspiracy. And I think it's... There's just something there that seems more than your average, books about beasts and books about, you know, mythological characters. And, oh, they do that a little bit, but the whole storyline and premise, it really follows this interesting thing. Up until, I would say, past season 5, they start to turn it around in a really weird way where it seems like they're going on one track and then X-Files kind of takes a turn and they kind of abandon it. So I'm kind of curious myself why, how, and where, and why that abandonment happened. And of course, when they brought the whole series back in like 2017, I think it was, those episodes are they're interesting. There's actually some interesting episodes, but it is a little bit off the rails, I'd say.
I'll make sure to use a different laptop, so my internet doesn't crash. So sorry, but that's what they said, something where it was he almost alluded to the fact that the government, it was just so big. It was like, because that one guy disappeared, right? In episode 6, right? The guy who like healed the cable up. So when they went on the gondola, right?
Ah, Krycek.
Oh, you're talking about Krycek. Yeah.
Krycek. Yeah. Yes. Who's a recurring character as well. And you never really know whether he's good or bad. Sometimes he helps Mulder. Sometimes he does stuff like that.
Oh, he comes seems back. Like he's
trying
later?
To sabotage. Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Recurring character. Like,
oh, interesting. Yeah, because it's like, first of all, I'm like, wait, what happened to the crane operator guy? And then, find out, like, did he kill that guy? What? I'm assuming, I forget the guy's name, but Mulder's boss who reopened the X-Files.
Skinner?
Skinner, yeah. He kind of blew through, he just disappeared into the government, like this, like the guy, just like, It's almost like it's just so big, it's so vast, so much bureaucracy. It's like it's kind of like the argument for or against like a fake moon landing. It's like it's so big that you could easily compartmentalize, right? And no one really knows what the whole project's doing. So it's almost like you could, in plain sight, hide the different experiments or different things that people are doing. And I wonder if, because you said something about, there's stories, but it's kind of X-Files is different. And I wonder if the modern state of the U.S., just because of technology and how big it is, you've never seen this on this scale. I don't know if a government has ever been able to do that before, right? You think like the Roman Empire or whatever, it had, I'm sure, obscene amounts of bureaucracy, corruption, whatever. But it wasn't able to, spy on people, track people down really easily, and, abduct people, like these types of things. So it's I don't know where I'm going with all that, but I guess it's just kind of like this X-Files like retelling though of these stories, but through this different lens of, it's actually not these mythological things, it's just a good, this like this eerie deep state that's doing these types of things. But people are thinking off that, and those characters are interesting to me.
The deep state's obviously real, and I think it's just technology has outpaced their ability to hide a lot of their stuff in now. So now they have to use subterfuge, and it's aliens that did it, or it's Nephilim, or.
So do you think that like the 90s like and 2000s or the 80s and 90s, was that like a sweet spot for them? Or it's like.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because like I don't think the X-Files would be made today. Obvious almost. Whereas back then it was like no one would really believe that. But it's kind of entertaining, right? To like think that the government would do that, but it's not really that practical.
I grew up with 2.5 TV channels, so we lived in the middle of nowhere, and if we wanted that third one, we had to turn the antenna 90 degrees to get it, but then we lost the other two. So I remember Walter Cronkite being on TV at night. I mean, that's who you trusted. You trusted the anchors, the news anchors, and who's another one? Dan Rather. I remember him falling kind of from grace. And just as time goes on and information became more available, readily available, where you didn't just have to rely on the three big networks. Yeah, it started coming apart. And then the internet. Holy cow. Back when the internet was wild and woolly and they couldn't control it. It was like the early 90s or mid 90s. That was the wild, wild west was on the internet. You could get anything you wanted on there if you knew how to search for it.
Yeah, that was good stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like now what they do to, now that they've lost control, the way that they get control is by there was a long time where it was PSYOPs, the way everyone thinks of them, as just like all these different fake narratives out there. And now I think with the way the internet has worked post-Trump, there's there are like deep engineered social milieu psyops. Like there's it's basically like marketing demographics, because all this stuff comes from Edward Bernays and all the field that he created. The PR, he invented PR as a propaganda term for propaganda. But so it's now all these different marketing demographics, and you've got all these different ideologies, and for each there's a cat climbing on the
I saw it. I was like, for those of you listening, there's a cat on the screen.
It distracted me from my own words.
Sorry.
Each ideology is like its own marketing demographic, and there are psyops that are morphed to the demographic the way that ads are marketed to demographics. And I think this is part of why I haven't watched X-Files, because to me, coming into all this conspiracy culture when I did, all the subject matter of X-Files is so well into that realm of like clearly one of these marketing demographics, like closed boxes, that I think I just subconsciously like filed it away as a psyop of its own. I don't know if that's true. It might have just been like this was what was like just believable enough to be like viable on TV at the time, and so some cool people made it. That's also possible. But I think that's why I didn't watch it. I haven't thought about it consciously, but I'm kind of reflecting on my own like potential prejudices and my subconscious and just not getting around to watching it.
Well, that's
always good to be skeptical.
Well, that's kind of what I was getting at, and I think not to bring up Mark Clare on that, but he kind of mentioned that too. How he gets his like stuff from the X-Files, which is on cable or you know on Fox, right? But I wonder too if back then, because it was so in control, and because there was the internet, but this was not quite as distributed as it was. You know, and there's a couple of fringe people out there who are super conspiratorial, but whatever. So it probably wouldn't bother the powers that be that, oh, the X-Files out there. Like, oh, that's cute. Like, oh, maybe they're really onto something or, you know, or they're close, but, you know, whatever. No one's going to think about it. Versus, I would say that there's no way that show would come out today in an authentic form, because it'd just be way too on the nose, I feel like, and obvious in some ways. But you also, and then I had a question for you. You said something when you first started talking about like they're losing control, and I don't want to push back, but I wonder what, like, in what ways do you mean that? Because to me, it doesn't seem that way. Like, I don't know how they seem very, and they, but like, we can define big T they, but.
Well, I was thinking in terms of the large view. So we were just talking about Walter Cronkite. So when I said that, he's president. I really meant like early 2000s, back when it kind of was a little bit less controlled. And then I think that the process, the next thing I described, I think, was the strategy they rolled out along with the tech censorship and Incutel funded corporate silos of like feudal lordships of an internet now is what it's turned into. Like, they roll that out, and then they launched this strategy that I'm describing, and it became much more controlled again. So I agree with that.
Incutel is interesting. So as someone who's in the accounting profession, I have had a lot of clients that have received funding from that entity. So yeah, so I learned about it, I was like, wait, it's a CIA VC fund? I was like, that seems a little bizarre. And then I was like, oh, you see it all over the place. And they sprinkle money in all these types of technology companies, and I don't know if you guys know this, but it turns out that money buys influence.
I don't have any, so I wouldn't know.
Wealth, power, and influence, Bill. Come on now.
So my understanding of Incutel is that it's like sort of roughly the equivalent of DARPA, but for the CIA rather than for the military. You seem to be very much more knowledgeable in detail about like the corporate structure of it.
Well, I don't. My impression of that is that it's a, like, I would describe it as venture capital for the CIA, where they take a chunk of money and they'll invest it into various startups or seed companies. A lot of them are around cybersecurity, that type of stuff. But you'll see in different storage, like different types of, you know, cutting edge, not to overuse that word, but those types of companies. So they just kind of like how a bank will make a loan or investment. They're just kind of one of them. And at first it was just like, who is Inqtel? Inqtel. And I imagine it's a cute way off some kind of intelligence, right? Yeah, it's interesting, but that's all I know about it, really. Just, they just like to invest in startup-y type companies.
just to give a little bit of a shout out to the post-libertarian audience, this leads into one way in which this post-libertarian thing happens, which is that represents effectively central planning, and that's actually all the way back how the market has been. It started with the British charter companies, and they're pretty much all monopolies. And as history progressed, they learned to conceal it more and more. And there's something called the physiocrats, and there's this idea of the blood flow, the free flow in the economy. And they developed this whole theoretical framework, and then this reasoning for why the way we should centrally plan the economy is by having everything be laissez-faire and setting rules for it rather than directing production. And then they, like, this type of thing where they set up seed money for funding things, or they have influence to push the production of technologies and stuff, goes back to Francis Bacon. Francis Bacon, who like came up with the concept of how we think about science and everything, like, he was doing this type of thing back in Victorian England. And so this is how the production of technologies and the economies and all this stuff has worked throughout the entire arc of the British Empire into the American Empire up until Inqtel. And that's what produces the conditions for the market, and all, like, all this stuff is conspiracy.
Well, that's they say. Well, isn't that what NASA gave us? A lot of technology, right? So, guys, we wouldn't have microchips if we didn't go to the moon. So,
Chad.
One thing I wanted to point out on the episode before I get ratioed on this for my moon take. No, is in. Within, there's a lot of nuggets in the X-Files. I think Hobo Mom, you alluded to that. Like, when he was the crazy guy, Dwayne Barry, right? When he parked his car in the mountain, and Mulder walks up to it, and the radio's blasting. And in there, it was like some talk guy. He was like, "Oh, gold is down, and there's inflation," and like Mulder turns it off. And I thought that was interesting that there was. They had that in the radio. I don't know if anyone noticed that or any other gems throughout the episode that were kind of, I don't know, little Easter eggs, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that's a great point. Yeah, absolutely. It's like these like little subtle things that you may not notice, and certainly not notice at the time that it came out when it was released. But now that we're quite a few years in the future, and we've seen how sort of the history has played out, it's interesting. Yeah.
No dead air.
I was going to say, we got to keep talking. Bill, we're looking for you. Bill, what was your thoughts on this two-part series?
I didn't know we were going to do too much on episode 6. I couldn't figure out what happened to Dwayne Barry, but he died. Spoiler alert. Did anyone else notice that he always referred to himself in the third person?
Yeah, absolutely. I have that. Like, I like wrote it down. I was like, why does Dwayne, I think they're maybe just trying to like do that seed of like, it sounds a little bit insane. I don't know what else there is there.
Right. Well, after the brain injury, I guess that kind of made sense, but would be playing the radio so loud Was he trying to drown out the voices that he was hearing in his head, perhaps?
That's what I thought. And I thought when he would talk about himself in the third person, it was almost like someone else was talking. I thought it was supposed to, which I guess to your point, right, is that he's kind of crazy. So it was kind of like, oh, it's not him talking, it's someone else talking through him. And yeah, I think the radio blasting, or it also could have been that he didn't want them to hear that Scully was in the back.
But he had it blasting again, like you said, when he parked.
Yeah.
So,
and while he was driving,
I guess he could have been trying to drown out the voices or mask what they could hear, perhaps. But he needed them to tell him where to go, right?
But he knew where he was going. Yeah, he was a crazy guy, I guess. But
yeah,
I was like, this cop is dying. Sorry.
All right, here's like a pretty good gem too, where it was Smoking Man talking to Krychek, and if you remember, Krychek was like, why don't we just take him out, referring to Mulder, like we should take Mulder out because he's too close, he's getting so close to the truth, right? And he says, kill Mulder and you risk turning one man's mission into a crusade.
Yeah, I remember it's like, that
you almost gotta let the people who believe the things that are even true be able to like speak the truth, because if you silence too much, then people really start to ask questions.
Yeah, then people get, hey, that was wrong, and yeah, more people start digging, then more people pick it up. I mean you're kind of seeing that now, right? So
yeah, absolutely. Like Luca was saying, and losing control. Are they losing control, or are they just putting so much garbage out there that you don't know what you can believe or can't believe, like the moon landing,
yeah,
perhaps, and around Earth, perhaps.
Yeah, who doesn't?
You know what I mean? It's just like there's so many people, you get so many different points of view or different topics to look at that you just have opposing forces, and then we just all sit down and watch the Super Bowl and forget about it, right? It's just circuses.
I believe they called this Hall of Mirrors. I think this strategy was specifically rolled out in reaction to JFK conspiracies, same time they rolled out the concept of conspiracy theorist as a way of derailing people from conspiracy theories. Was this disinformation campaign of just like hundreds and hundreds of books that all have different narratives, and so people have just been like going down these random different explanations for JFK. People have so many different explanations and so many different versions of each story for who, it's impossible to sift through. I've never really looked into JFK because I think similar to X-Files, like it, I just coming into conspiracy culture when I did, I just got that sense that it's just like a land of information. Information hazard, I think it's called. It's an information hazard.
But it's, I think something else too to recall is like there's, I still think it's kind of like how we were suggesting maybe the X-Files was allowed to happen in the 90s because it was just so fringe, it was entertaining. I think even now, as someone who lives in a pretty normie world, it's not like the majority of people out there even know about. Heck, even like these trials that are happening with Trump, like they might know about it, like in general, like, oh yeah, I don't think people are really like plugged into it. I hope not, most people aren't. And I think that's what you can bank on if you're it's like not enough people really paying attention. Cause it's just, to me, it's almost like kind of like during the COVID years, it's just like, how can you not like 6 feet? Wear this, do this. I was like, this is just asinine, but enough, like people don't think about it enough. I think that's kind of what you bank on, is people won't think about it enough because, you know, they got to go out their lives, or maybe to your point, Luca, you don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, that label. Maybe that's just to be a good citizen. I don't know. It's, I don't know. I think it'll never, I don't think enough people are, I think it's more chatter and more noise, but also the dangerous thing about either internet or online is it is so easy to be narrowed into a echo chamber, right? To use that buzzword, which I guess is kind of in with your theme that you said, there's just so much out there, so fragmented that like all the people who think about Bigfoot are all like in these Bigfoot lanes, right? And all the people who want to free Palestine are all over here, right? And all the people, like everyone's in like their own outrage lane. And it's just gonna keep them there. Like, all right, they're crazy about this one thing, but they're not seeing the whole big picture about how, yeah, you know, there's a select few of people that just really milk the system for a lot of money at the top, right?
Yeah, well, that's definitely one of the strategies, right, that's used, which is to try and just get people really focused on one particular thing, or to really focus a group in, or just put out so much information. I'm whenever you're ready to start looking into JFK, I don't know a ton about it, Luca, but all I have to say, I'm going to point you in one direction, which is just look at the Bush family. That's it. And who knows, maybe we'll get canceled here forever. I don't know. You might not see me ever again. I don't know if I'm going to survive this, but, anyway, I'll leave it there.
Well, as long as you're not bringing up Boeing on top of it, you'll probably be okay.
Yeah. Let the record show that I love flying Max Airs or whatever. And you know what? No, even if you just watched JFK by what's his name, like it's just like
Costner.
Yeah. Or, like that'll, or all, no.
Who directed that? Oliver Stone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even that alone, I'm sure it's very, I realize. I'm sure that makes Hobo Mom cringe, but just even watch that, you're just like, this is like, the narrative's terrible. Like the official narrative, garbage.
It'll make you ask some questions right off the bat. Then it just, that's a really deep and twisted rabbit hole to get going down once you get going.
Yeah, I definitely mean to watch the, I've intended to watch the Oliver Stone one for a while because I know that I've heard that's good. I know there's when I say I haven't gone into it, I haven't looked into it as a conscious process enough to form my own opinion. I have listened to probably I think it's an 8-hour 2-part episode, but these people go into the corporate structures and the shell companies and stuff like that in such detail that it's kind of overwhelming. And so I just didn't absorb the JFK stuff basically. That would be fun to listen
in the past too.
So far in the past that it's like almost, I get the point, like all the details, like of the things, the revelations that looking into that reveals are like in my, bare basic assumptions about reality already. But I wanted to say something about the echo chamber thing, which is back to the history of psychology and how it relates to this. Edward Bernays is one big topic, but then the behavioral psychology, and B.F. Skinner, big name. There's something actually, the same people I just mentioned the podcast that I am mentioning, Pseudodoxology podcast, mentioned the Skinner boxes is this concept of and socially engineering people to behave a way that you need them to in the system. And then that ended up influencing the way the internet was produced, was this was a military operation inventing the internet. And the purpose of it was to experiment with how could we simulate making decisions in a military context where we need to decentralize decision making. And so we need all these decentralized nodes and some version of a hierarchy command that works where you don't need to go up the chain because you need to be in a situation where it's decentralized and they're not in contact, and a way to organize them all making a decision based on who has the, how to get the best information at hand and make a decision off of that in a decentralized manner. And so it was military operations to achieve that that led to producing the internet. And then they ended up doing these Skinner boxes on people. And so this is, again, this is how the internet was from the beginning. It just kind of it was a little bit too peer-to-peer for a while, and so they had to clamp back down on it. But that this people are Skinner box determined into things in these echo chambers. That's how they set up all these.
Including us. Sorry, you're talking about Skinner. I was like, so you know, we have Principal Skinner on Fox, and we have Walter Skinner on X-Files,
and you're B.F. Skinner, the behaviorist. Yeah.
And a B.F. Skinner, a behaviorist. I just made that connection myself.
Did it.
That's crazy.
So I've got a couple thoughts too on that, which is I don't think you're wrong. And I think one of the pieces you might be missing is where you're like, oh, the internet at the very beginning of internet, it was almost like too free and they kind of had to pull back. That was possibly consideration by design. So consider for a moment that they had to get the public to trust it. They had to get people and the public to be able to trust it first before they reined it in the like kind of control mechanism it is today. So now we've become widely adopted and we all use it and we can't really imagine our lives without it, but it is not what it was in the very early days of internet at all. But majority of any generation coming forward will never know that version. So that's kind of lost and forgotten. And we go forth with trust on that. And absolutely that there is so much about society that is organized based on Skinner's ideas. And it's manipulation and coercion. Most parenting books, I mean, I can't not talk about parenting when it comes to B.F. Skinner, because most parenting books suggest using techniques that are basically co-opted by Skinner. It's like treating like humans like animals, you know, Pavlov's dogs. Like, how do you get humans? Let's reward them and when they do something good, and let's take something away when they do something bad, or punish them and corporal punishment and all that. That system of like black and white, good and evil, is ingrained in us from so early on that it's almost like we can't fathom another world beyond that.
Well, then you could tie in that your behavioral reward, everything that the dopamine hits that they talk about you get when you get likes and whatever on your posts on your social media. So there you go into that right there, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
This new version of the internet, now that it's changed from the depending on how much you think that was an engineered form of freedom for a little bit of like for whatever purpose they had, it's definitely gotten different now. And one way of describing how it's gotten different is the techno-feudalism concept. That Greek dude who was a part of Grexit or the attempt at Grexit, talks about this, but they're all just these, they're fiefdoms. And I just wanted to say I do think that it's taken upswing recently, because now we have a fiefdom whose feudal lord I can be proud of, which is Pavel Durov. So shout out to my feudal lord. I appreciate him.
Sad I missed something, so that's all right.
my well, there was two laptop. Of you for a bit.
Yeah, I know. There were two of me, too. I was like, oh, that's a little weird. Yeah, this my work laptop, for whatever reason, is terrible with the internet here. And Luca here is just streaming off the...
You're library. Using your Fed laptop? Ah, oh, son of a bitch.
Oh, whoops. I mean...
Unsurprising.
So guys, tell me more about your opinions on how late did you guys want to go? Because I'm curious about the end, like kind of like the cliffhanger.
We can try and close things out. How do we do that? Let's see. We're gonna look back on this. You know, at some point in our lives and either be like, that was really fun, I wish we kept doing that, or we're going to look back on it and be like, oh my gosh, things were so disorganized then, I can't believe we managed to keep going. So anyway, there's a couple paths.
Just going
to
be glad I used a fake name.
Yeah, me too,
sure,
guys.
Sure. We all know we're using our real names here. Every one of us.
Try and lie out. Luca one-upped it and used his hyphen last names, though. Like, those watching.
I'm logging in as Wild Card next time, although I'm not that wild. Forgot about
it. Selling coffee.
We just need more tequila, right? And then I think we get
there
it.
There we go. I like
this. Yeah, I'm actually just drinking Topo Chico tonight with some lime. So just sparkly funny water.
There you go. I got water myself, so being hydrated.
I gotta go to the
just
dentist
not wild
tomorrow.
Enough. That's why you're Bill tonight.
Yeah. Got a dentist appointment in the morning. Don't want to go in there with whiskey breath. Wild anymore.
All right, you get a pass tonight.
All right, thank you.
I enjoyed watching it. I think the X-Files is I enjoyed the shows. It's very like, it's funny, the technology too, right? They have to like get a map, you know, and they're trying to enhance this, so it's very much different than FBI shows now where it's got like the satellite to zoom in or whatever, you know, they hack and everything really easily. So a little more low tech, I guess, which is
They did zoom in on Scully's like, face in the trunk.
She's alive.
Came up super clear all of a sudden. Yeah. I'm like, come on.
I was like, gotta be blurry, right? Like,
does that technology even exist now? That didn't seem real at all. Like possible.
Zooming in?
No, the way that they did it. Like the zooming in from a picture that's like not good.
There's no way that would have worked. There's no way
you can take something grainy and zoom it in and make it better.
Like, when he focused on her face and just cleaned it up, I'm like, oh, come on.
Reminds me of Super Troopers. The most outrageous thing about the episode, but you know,
there might be an AI way of guessing pretty well and like pulling pictures from the internet and stuff and guessing pixel by pixel what the most likely thing is to make it less blurry. That might be a thing at this
point. 2023, not 1993.
Yeah,
yeah.
Back then. We're actually like cameras on VHS.
Yeah, exactly. Let's pop this in. It's like, have you ever watched VHS lately? It's brutal. No. It's unwatchable. Unwatchable. Put in a VHS tape and goes back.
I think we have a plain old DVD player that I occasionally have to use when the power goes out for our daughter, and that looks bad. That looks terrible compared to the Blu-ray.
Yeah, it's wild when you get used to it.
Yeah, it is. All right, here's something to kind of close it out as it's not hopefully not big spoiler, but I think it's an interesting thing that happens in X-Files, and it's something to consider for this particular episode with Dwayne Barry and everything, which is so Mulder, he's always believed in aliens. He sort of at some point starts wondering whether the government's involved in some way. And then one thing that occurred to me on this particular episode as a rewatch of this episode was whether or not the Dwayne Barry character could have been a setup all along for Mulder to just be part of that experience. Because as you get later on in the seasons, there's like this weird thing that happens where it almost seems like they're trying to set up alien encounters and alien information for Mulder to see, because it's a way to kind of be able to control him, because he wants so badly to get his sister back, who was abducted so many years ago and disappeared, and he wants her back. So and she was a child at the time, so there's an interesting tie-in of some odd things of children disappearing, but he wants so badly to find her that he just believes it's aliens and he'll do whatever he can to try and get that. And so there's this like weird thing that can happen where the government is maybe trying to string him along of this possibility, maybe creating situations. So he believes things. So all that there, you could kind of toy around where it was Dwayne Barry really a true character? Is that the way that it really happened? The when the lady gave him the things that were found in his sinuses and teeth and stomach, like, was that not something that they wanted Mulder to have all along? So anyway, just going to leave it maybe there because it gets really confusing and deep.
That just made me have a thought that I meant to say earlier. The way that they talk to the abductor, the crazy guy, like him getting voices in his head. I feel like very recently there was a reveal of that type of telepathic sending messages technology as a military weapon. I feel like that was released recently as a real thing. So that puts it into perspective of like the whole phenomenon is a targeted social engineering operation through like neuroscience brain weapons. Targeting on I don't know what I don't know the words for that stuff because I haven't looked into those rabbit holes.
I don't know the term for it either, but I know exactly what you're talking about. And there's like a whole account of people who can actually, they can basically, and it has been proven, send voices. So it's like people are hearing voices and they hear things and it's actually being they're being targeted specifically. If they want you to hear something, you'll hear it. Very bizarre. And I had another thought, but it's escaped me. So, maybe we could talk about that more next episode, along with the Mandela effect, which we've
played
around a little bit.
I think
that could make an interesting conversation. I have.
Did anyone else besides Bill watch the movie?
I have not, but I'm very excited.
It is an oddly short movie.
Hour and 20 minutes. Yeah.
Mandela effect things also.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, it's definitely the Bernstein Bears is definitely an interesting one.
and when we were talking about that in the chat, I showed someone and showed me a picture of Bernstein and Bernstein, like two tapes.
It's amazing.
Both, like the other. So they both existed in the same universe and there was a picture of it. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I have some questions about that movie, that's for sure. I got lost a couple of times. I gotta watch it again, but
yeah, just like quantum computers, you know. how did he get it?
Well, next one, we will have some reveals on Mandela Effect. Watch the movie and some other resources, maybe.
All right. Yeah. Cool.
Sounds awesome.
Until next time, I'll see you guys in the chat then. Drink your Fox and Sons coffee, promo code MCF.
Yeah, keep supporting Mark Clare. He's deserving of it. And
he gives us an outlet.
Someday we'll get our own promo code.
There we go. Bill's coffee. All right. Hey, good talk.
I just drank my own. All right. We'll talk to you guys later.
Take care, guys. Bye.
Night, guys.
Night.
Night.